Welcome, welcome, welcome to the mystical kingdom of this universe. Thank you for attending and hearing this episode. How are you guys doing, my fellow mystics, the builders, the architects, the alchemists, the travelers, the seekers of the truth, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the discernment, the understanding, the revelations of this knowledge and information that would set us free so we should not perish from lack of knowledge. It is your host, Mr. Alchemist, Mr. Raise Your Frequency Up, Mr. No Real Estate Investor Left Behind, coming to you down with this episode of the day. Hopefully you guys enjoy it and get some great info out of it. Let's dive in.
The hieroglyphics tell us the story of two visionaries, outcasts, not of this world. They led a band of ragtag followers carrying everything they had, pursued by forces of evil. The symbols show us they reached their destination, but what happens inside is a mystery.
The truth understanding of why a man and a woman should get married. The true purpose of unity.
Please, very important. Love is an act of the will. I beg you to
is an act of the will. You can decide to love your enemy. If you don't believe me, ask Jesus. He said, love your enemy. And he made it a command. You obey a command out of a will. Love those who hate you, he says. Love those who despitefully use you. Love those who persecute you. How can you do that? It has to be a decision. That's the kind of love you need for marriage. Because the person you marry will be an enemy twice a week, maybe twice a day. People will do things in your life to hurt your expectation. But you got to decide to still love you. If Jesus said to love your enemies, then the person you couldn't get along with, you decided not to love them. Write this down. Love is a debt you owe. Boy, that's tough. Let me read where that came from. Because love is really a law. Laws have no feelings. Love is a law. Sometimes you feel like running the red light because you're late. But the law says stop. Your feelings got nothing to do with this law. Do you know that if you love your children, you will chasten them? Sometimes you feel for your son so you don't whip him. The Bible says he that doesn't chasten his son hates him. You can't get your feelings in the middle of discipline. If you love the person and they did wrong, you discipline them. It has to be your will. I love you so much, I feel like not spanking you, but I'm going to whoop you. Why? Because I love you so much. I don't want you to go this way. This is the wrong way to go. It's love. God never chooses your mate. And I'm so glad. Because God is too smart to choose your mate for you. God knows that if you hadn't choose your mate and it didn't work out, you could blame him. So God gives you the complete responsibility to choose a mate. But he does help you. He gives you a brain with 5 billion cells. He gives you the Holy Spirit to guide you. He gives you his word to regulate your decisions. He gave you pastors to give you good counsel. And he gave you his own anointing to discern spirits. And yet, with all of that equipment, some of us ignore it and we still make our own decisions. I want to say this then, that love is not the foundation for marriage. This statement will cause problems, I know it will. Because we normally get married to someone because we say we are in love. Can I suggest to you, please, after being married for 32 years myself, and a very, very happy marriage, not a bad day for 32 years, can I say to you that love does not make marriage work? Don't be fooled by that, whether it's a feeling that you say you have for someone, or an endearment to someone, someone tells you good things. Don't get married because you love someone. I love aircrafts, but I can't fly them. You can love something and not know how to do it. So it isn't love that's the problem. It's knowledge to function in that. Love does not keep marriage together. And I believe every divorced person here will agree with that statement. If you are divorced today, that means you were once in love with the person. So you didn't lack love. There were some other things that came up in the relationship that were stronger and more powerful than the love. Whether it was infidelity, unfaithfulness, whether it was abuse, physical abuse, or emotional abuse, or mental abuse, or whether it is neglect or irresponsibility in finances, something came up that became more powerful than the love you had for the person. Which means that love can save you. It's tough, isn't it? Write this down, please. Successful marriage is a result of the application of knowledge, not the exchange of love. You can be in love, young man, all you want. It doesn't make the woman the right woman. You can express your passion to this man all you want, but that love you have for that man won't make him the right man for you. And we need to get this fast, because you see, in the book of Proverbs, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is supreme, so get wisdom. And in all you're getting, don't get love, get what? Understanding. You want to understand what it is to be a woman, what it is to be a man, how to live with a human. You want to understand the idiosyncrasies of a female and the uniqueness of a male. You want to understand communication skills. You want to understand how to manage emotions and how to handle anger. You want to understand the dynamics of disagreements. You want to understand how to handle unfaithfulness, broken trust. You want to understand, because if you don't understand those things, you're going to dump that marriage. Many marriages today could have been saved. I'm sure of it. but the individuals didn't have the equipment, the knowledge to use to fix the situation. No marriage is irreparable, believe me. But most people either don't know or they're just so tired, trying, they quit. And believe me, problems can make you tired. And this is why it's important for you to gain understanding. I like what it says in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. Now, here's the part you always miss. It says, because you have what? Rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, says the Lord. God is saying that ignorance is a choice. Here's what's important here about this verse. You cannot reject something that was not available. I know, hey, I'm human too. I know you sit there and get tired of me saying, oh, I just spoke. And you sit there and you got hell at home when you walk past the bookstore. Do you know that all your problems that you're facing now are probably solved in a book in your house you haven't read? We reject knowledge. Have you ever sat in a session like this and you hear this kind of teaching and your first thought is, boy, he should have been here. Oh, they should have been here to hear this. What you're saying is they missed it. They rejected opportunity to get knowledge. And God says, because you reject knowledge, I also got to reject you because I can't help you with what you don't know. And then he says something very important. He says, and you cannot be a priest before me. See that there? The word priest means representative. God says, I don't want you to represent me if you are stupid. I don't want you to go to tell people you know me and you don't. Stop saying praise the Lord and you can't handle your life. You haven't gotten the material to represent me and they tell everybody you know me. He said, don't tell anybody about me, please, because you are messing up my reputation. And here's the worst part. It ends with this. And I must also reject your children. What God is saying, and write this down. Ignorance is generational. What you don't know is transferred to your kids. So if you can't stay married and get it right, you got to be careful. Because your kids may also be in danger of having the same problem that you have. Can you always remember this? Read a book for your unborn children. Go to a seminar for your unborn children. Because that's what it's about. The less you know, the less they can learn. The more you learn, the more you can teach them. Because when you have information, you can transfer it to your children. The most misunderstood element and ignorance that we have is love. We don't know about love. Ladies and gentlemen, I speak as a servant of the Lord today with a heavy heart because we are struggling. Many of us are trying to trust people. And it's because we are unrealistic. We are ignorant about what love is. Let's quickly review what we talked about in the last session. There are four types of love in the Bible. One is called phileo, which means brotherly love. The second is called eros, which is erotic love or fleshly love or sexual love. And the third one is philego, and this is friendship love between two friends. And then there's the number four, and that is agape. That is the divine kind of love that God gives you. That's the kind of love that is not normal. As a matter of fact, that's the kind of love that forgives a person who commits adultery on you. You cannot get back with a person who break trust with you with phileo. You can never make up with someone who break trust with you with eros. If your spouse committed adultery on you, you don't want to sleep with them anymore sexually. So the eros is even gone. You're afraid you'll probably get AIDS. Or you can't even imagine what they were with the other person. And so your memory and your imagination does tricks on you. And you can't even imagine sleeping in the bed with them anymore. Eros can't help you. The only way to get back after that brokenness, you got to go down to number four, agape. You got to get to the point where you can do what God did. Even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And that's tough love. That's love that ignores all the rebellion. It ignores all of the cursing of God. God says, I still love you. And that agape is in the believer. It's not in the world. But because we don't understand it, it's tough to do it. Make a note of this, please. Only agape makes permanent relationships possible. Only agape. Every other relationship will be temporary. So you cannot really experience God's promise of marriage, which is permanent until death do you part, with God's will. material, which is agape. Everything else will fail you. Write this down. Love is not emotions. And this is a very dangerous thing because emotions are actually chemicals. Did you know that? When you feel for someone, that's an emotional chemical reaction. And the problem with chemicals is they change every 5 seconds in your body. The chemicals are never stable. In other words, when your eyes look at someone, your eyes interpret certain things, and you have a pleasant experience. You look at that person's face, or their lips, or their hips, or their breasts, or that man's six-pack. The adrenaline then kicks in, and your body begins to produce adrenaline enzymes, and you become excited. Now, the excitement you feel is adrenaline. It's not love. And you think, I'm excited about this person. No, you are adrenaline about this person. And we interpret that feeling as love. No, that's a chemical reaction. And if you fall in love on adrenaline, excitement, which some people call infatuation, the problem is we're going to have you look at someone else again, a different person, and get the same experience. And then a third one, and then a fourth one. What you going to do with the first one you looked at? And that's why people commit adultery. That's why folks who are engaged to be married still break that engagement and go with someone else because they confuse adrenaline with love. Love is not an emotion. Secondly, love is a choice. You have to choose love, and you must choose to love. Why? Because love is the response to understanding the value of another thing. When you value something, you put a certain amount of love on it or endearment on it. For example, if you bought a brand new car and it costs $112,000, I think you would want to clean that a few times. In other words, the more valuable the thing is to you, the more you want to treat it nicely. If you bought yourself a watch for $50,000, you would probably want to keep that watch in a different place than you keep the one you have now. Because the more value you put on something, the more you feel endeared to take care of it. So love is really a response to understanding value. That's why God loves you. God looks at you and he sees himself. The Bible says you are made in God's image. So when God sees you, he don't see what you think. He sees himself, and God loves himself so much. He refused to let himself go to hell. There was a value he put on you.
Inspiring habits.
By the way, value is measured by what you're willing to spend for something. In other words, when you pay for something, that's the value you gave it. So the more you pay for something, the higher the value placed on it. So here's the question. What did God pay to get you? He paid his own image on the cross, which means that God placed himself value on you. You are worth God. That's how you measure value. And so if someone really, really claims that they love you, they have a response to understanding your value, that is measured by what they are willing to give up for you. God loved you so much, he gave up himself. Can you meet someone who can do that? Someone who will give up all of the men just for you, brother. This woman gave up all the men. All the men want her. But she decided that she can give herself to you only until she dies. Man, that's value. That's love. It's a choice. Because the men who still want her didn't leave the planet. That's important. They don't go away. I mean, she goes to work by herself. They might wink at her still. But she got to remember, I made a choice. This woman you claim you love, what did you cancel for her? Did you cancel her, your own mother for her? You have to. If your wife got to compete with your mother, then your wife is not the most valuable person on earth to you. And she feels that. She want to talk to you, and your mother called you on the phone to see you. You got a choice. The Bible never says that you're supposed to stay with your mother. It says leave your mother. And cleave to your wife. You were born to leave your mother. I was born to, you know, and before I got married, it was clear. I sat with my mom and dad, and even my sisters who were here, I said, look, you know, they're getting married. And it's amazing, you know, when you choose to marry somebody, your family don't always like them. But guess what? That's your choice, okay? Remember that. That's your choice. And I made it very clear. I said, now look, my getting married to this person doesn't bring two families together. It creates a third family. This is what's destroying us right now. We keep thinking that two people bring two families together. That is not right. Because divorce, it invites interference. Some of you are divorced today because of in-laws who became outlaws. They will get involved in your business. So you gotta remember, look, when you get married, this ain't no two families coming together. This is the creation of a third family that is completely separate. And if you want to enter that family, you need permission. No one should just drop in on you if you are married, including your mother or your father. You don't just drop in. This is a private environment. You need permission to come in. You call me before you come because I might want you to come. This is destroying marriages. I'm seeing people who drop in on people, walk right in the house, how you doing, walk in the kitchen, open the pot. In your kitchen, fight. All fight time now. No, that's a private environment. Protect your sense of your home. There's some mothers who need Jesus. Stay out of your children's business. Look at Romans 13, verse 8. It says what?
Let no dead remain standing except the continuing dead to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law of God.
It's a debt. I owe you to love. Most of the time when you owe people, you don't feel like paying them. You don't feel like paying them. When the light bill comes, you don't feel like paying the light bill. When the time to pay the mortgage, you don't feel like paying the mortgage. You don't feel debt. But you choose, based on your integrity, to pay the bill. That's why you love people. You're obligated. Try and take feelings out of your marriage, please. I know this sounds crazy. It's good to feel good, you know, but man, just monitor that. Don't mix it up with love. Because it doesn't work. Let me show you how deep this is. Look at John 13:34. Read. A new commandment I give unto you. What he says. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. John 15:12. Read. My commandment is this. Love each other as I have loved you. He keeps repeating it. It's a law. It's a law. I command it. Don't feel like this. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh man, listen to the words. John 15:17. Read. This is my command that you love one another. John 14:15. He says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command you. And that is to love one another. Love. Let's talk about it. Where does love come from? I'm talking about real love now, not Astergo and Phileo and Eros. Eros from the word erotic. That's flesh love. Don't get mixed up in that.
Don't ever consider sex love.
They are never the same. If someone tells you they love you, and therefore you should let them sleep with you and have sex, that person does not love you. You can't equate them with love. Matter of fact, they call sex in this society making love. Making it. Making it. That means it doesn't exist. We gotta make it. Let's make love. What do you mean make love? That means you got it. That's exactly what they mean. And they make it for 45 seconds. Over. And then they don't want to talk to you anymore for weeks. It's not love. Make a note of this. Galatians 5. It says the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:22. It says,
for the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love.
Love is not a gift. It is a fruit. Young people, listen to this 10 times before you wink at anyone. Because you don't want to take a chance with your life. There are many people in here who are hurting right now. Going through this sense, they're hurting. They're saying, my God, if I had had this 25 years ago. There's no gift of love in the Bible. Either it is in you by God's grace, or you ain't got it. Now let me say something very interesting here. If you are born again, that means you have the Holy Spirit. That means you get the love of God. Then why you got a divorce? God. Let me explain why. Because having the Holy Spirit is not equal to having knowledge. Let me give you an example. You can have a complete tool set and can't fix your car. Having the love of God is not the same as having the knowledge to fix stuff. That's why you need this teaching. You need to know, how do I use this equipment? Everyone who got a divorce still loved the person during the time when they were getting the divorce. They still loved them because you just can't dump the tool chest. The problem was they couldn't live together because there was so much ignorance. There was so much misunderstanding of how to use the tool. makes me weep. People would abuse or hurt someone, and then they'd say, but I love you, I don't know why I did that. What they're saying is, I still got the agape, I'm still full of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know how to use the tools. That's why you need knowledge. Don't get married on love. People tell me they love you. Always remember what love is. What is love? The decision to commit and meet my needs for the rest of my life and expect nothing. That's love. So next time some guy or woman says to you, I love you, ask them, so that means you are going to meet my needs for the rest of my life and expect nothing from me? A relationship over. But that's what they are asking for. Christ didn't just save us. He keeps us. He supplies all of our needs. You gotta have something if you're gonna take him out of the house. You gotta have something, brother. You gotta have something to care. Okay, here's what agape is. If you can tell a person why you love them, the love is canceled. It's no longer love. This is why nowhere in the Bible, nowhere on any page, does God ever tell us why he loves us. It doesn't exist in the Bible. Because the minute you give a reason, it's no longer love. The next time someone tells you they love you, ask them why and wait for the answer. Because the answer will be the destruction of the relationship. I guarantee it. Whatever they answer, will destroy the relationship. You don't believe me? Let's prove it. If there is a reason, it becomes a condition. I love you because you got a good job, but you better keep that job, brother. That's the condition, you see. I love you because you weigh 132 pounds, 36, 28, 42. Listen, you better stay that size all your life. It's a condition. I love you because you're an athlete and you win all the awards. Yeah, don't you ever get in an accident and get crippled from the neck down. Because the love is canceled. Wherever there is a reason, there's a condition. Step number two. Wherever there's a condition, it gets worse. There's expectation. I love you because you got long hair. But listen to me. You better not cut that hair. I expect you to keep your hair the way I like it. So the pressure is on, and when you start growing old and turning gray and start falling out, I don't want to see you anymore because it was the year that got me with you. It's a condition. Any condition becomes an expectation. It gets worse. The expectation will guarantee disappointment because nothing in life remains the same. You love a person because they, you know, are athletic or they got, you know, the Coke bottle shape. Listen to me, brother. After three babies, I'm putting up with you. She can't keep no Coke bottle. What you gonna do now? She look like her mother now. And that's why men go running around looking for these young women. They never loved you the first, but they love your shape. It was a condition of your shape. So they go looking for it again around the high schools. It's not love. It was a condition. She loved you because you got that job, CEO, at that company. And that company shuts down because the headquarters is overseas. And now you are down to zero, brother. I wonder if she still will live with you. Condition. She expects you to work there for the rest of your life. It gets worse. Expectation and disappointments will lead to divisions in a relationship. Have you ever heard this? I didn't expect it to come to this. What they're saying is there's a division in my expectation. You let me down. And the division results in the worst thing in the world. Divorce. By the way, the word division, look at it very carefully. DI means two, vision means one. So when you have disappointment, you end up with two visions in the house. And Jesus said, any house division against itself cannot stand. Once you change and get two visions, it's over in the relationship. This is why love has no expectation. If I expect you to always make $100,000 a year, you're in trouble. You better never lose that job. But you can't control that. There are so many people in this place who are pressured because of expectation. I see women in the morning, 5 a.m., jogging. Why? Some dumb husband sitting over the big belly saying, "You girl, you need to look right." She's under pressure. Expectation. Who do you think you are? You get a good job, you fat belly. Some women are under so much pressure to try and keep their husband's eyes on them that the stress is causing the woman to get cancer. Just the stress. Because that man doesn't know what love is. He starts saying things like, "Why don't you look like Cheryl? You put on too much weight, you know, you're not, look at this picture 10 years ago. That ain't you, see?" And they start putting pressure on you. That man need beaten by me. Bring him to me, I will whoop him. Because he forgot that his stomach is now bigger than his chest, and his head receded. Sometimes we forget that we change too. That's why our relationships ain't working. I expect nothing from my wife, Ruthann. Nothing. And today she tell you, I expect nothing. She ironed my shirt. I told her, what you doing? Why? Because I don't expect you to iron it. So I tell her, thanks. Every time she cooks, I tell her, thanks. Why? I ready, when I come, I'm ready to cook. When you expect nothing, you prepare to do it yourself. And when someone does it, you appreciate it. This is real. You walk in the house, be my food woman. What you talking about? You just destroyed the relationship. She been working all day too. What's your problem? She just got on 5 o'clock. What's wrong with you? Listen, if you love someone, you anticipate the need. Why don't you bring food home already cooked for her? Why don't you buy something for her? Anticipate she tired too. That's love. I wake up, get out of bed, and make the bed. My wife said, what you doing? I said, I slept in this bed. She said, you don't got to do it. I said, I know, but I expect to do it. I don't expect you to do this. That's why we are so close. That's why we love each other so much. Because there's no reason for our love. You got to get rid of it. We got this unrealistic expectation. And here's the worst part. Divorce is a death. Ask anyone who's been divorced in this room. It's a death. Something died. So God simply says, I so love you. I give myself. That's it. No reason. Never gives it. Look at 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 7, it says, dear friends, let us what? Love one another, for love comes from God. That's number one. That word love there is agape. Agape. Everyone who loves, agape, has been born from God, and they know God. Whoever does not love, agape, does not know God, because God is agape. That's why the Bible says something else about love. I love it. It says, whoever does not love does not what? Even know God. He's talking about agape. Because God is love. Again, 1 John 4, read. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. This is the real love. It comes from God. First of all, you meet someone and they don't know God, but they look good. They smell good. They dress nice. They got a good job. They got powerful access to money. They got all the nice cars and the rides and the house. They got the house behind the gate. And they, oh, glory. Yeah. But they don't have God, it says. Now listen to me, friends. Even those who got God get trouble. Because someone tells you, I'm saved, that ain't no qualification to marry them. All they tell you is they got a tool set. Don't know how to use a Christ thing in it, but I got a tool set. That's what I mean. I'm saved means I got a tool set. I got the stuff. Don't know how to use it. Now, don't get me wrong now. If you can take a chance with someone with a tool set. The verse says what? God is love. Watch this. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. That means this person got to be intimately covered by God. And even that's not enough. That's not enough. But at least they got the raw material to work with. Let me explain why it's not enough. Love is a decision to commit to meet another person's needs for the rest of their lives without expectation. And that's a high order. That's love. What is love? Love is a decision to commit to meet the needs of another person for life without expectation. That's agape. Let me tell you something. If someone falls into phileo with you, that's friendship love. That means that's mutual agreement. You treat me nice, I treat you nice. You stop treating me right, I stop coming with you. I expect you to behave yourself, then I'll be with you. That's phileo. Eros says, you give me some, I give you some. I give you money, you give me sex. No money, no sex. You got expectations there, you see? So that's not love. Then you got stereo. Stereo is, we are friends as long as you don't hurt me. So there's expectation. But agape is this strange kind of love. It has no expectation. Write this down. Love is therefore caring for a person. Now, caring is defined as to anticipate a need and meet it right now. When you care about someone, you study what they need tomorrow and give it to them today. In other words, caring means I outthink you. If someone cares for you, they spend all their lives figuring out what you need next and give it to you now. Why would it be nice to be married to someone like that? People say they care for you. Check, see what they anticipated you needed. See if you got it. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Why? For he cared for you. The word cared, there's a Hebrew word. It means to anticipate a need and meet it. It says, God anticipated your need and met it before you even asked. You know when God God said, when you pray to him, which God now? He said, pray to me for what you need. He said, pray. He said, now when you pray, remember, while you are speaking, I will say, here I am. And while you are even yet speaking, I'll say, here it is. In other words, even before you finish the sentence. Let me ask you a question. Did God die for you after you sinned? No, because that's not caring. When God created you, he anticipated the possibility that you might fall. So the Bible says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, just in case you fell. The Bible calls it a dowry. A dowry is caring. You go off and prepare a place, and then you come back and receive them unto yourself. Love is the manifestation of inherent nature of God. That's why God is love. And God cares all the time. It's when God's agape flow through the human spirit. That's true love. Let me define agape for you in a practical way. Don't ever forget it. Teach it to your children, because this is one of the most important sessions you ever had. The death of a marriage goes deeper. It creates dysfunctional families. So the kids grow up now with a defect. And usually a divorced parent will breed a divorced child who also gets a divorce. That's how deep that is. Just by the decision to have a reason for loving a person, it goes all the way to the social decay in a country. Social decay results in community destruction, because you are creating potential broken homes, broken hearts. We don't understand. It ain't kissing and hugging and touching nobody's body parts. Love is so deep, we are still in eros. We need to go to the kingdom level. So your relationship is personal, but it's never private. It affects all of us. Some of you in this room, your parents got a divorce, and you were 14 or maybe 12, and you are still trying to recover mentally. You live between two houses. You're making appointments to see your parent. I mean, this is not easy. There's psychological issues going on here that people don't understand. I talked to a young lady the other day. She said, Pastor Miles, I just want to see my daddy. I just want to see him. I understood what she was saying. I just want to see him. I'm at the age of my life now where I need to hear a father talk to me, she said. I got some decisions to make and I need a daddy. She was 22. Social dysfunction. I want you to just write this down. Promises are made to humans and can be broken. I love you. You're the only one I love. That's a promise. Don't trust that. They need to say that to God. And they end the judgment. Promises have no consequences. Vows have consequences. That is why when you make a vow before the altar, here's what you say. I promise to love you, to care for you, in sickness and in health, in riches and poverty. Watch this. Until death. The death is the judgment. It has an inherent judgment in it. Promises don't. An engagement is a promise. A marriage, a wedding, is a vow. You can break off an engagement without consequences before God, but you can't break off a vow. God will judge you. There are folks in this room who have experienced, they've been under judgment, they know what it feels like. They break that vow, they suffer some things, some death in their spirit, death in their emotions. They hurt so deep no one could explain the hurt. That's judgment. So if you're married, Paul says stay married. Fight for it. Try your best to put it back together. You don't want the judgment on you. This one gotta work, man. You got sense now. You know what to do. Let your children see you recovered and you know how to do it. If you've been divorced, thank God for this session. And if anybody we get you, tell them, listen to this too. 14 times. Because I ain't going twice in the wrong direction. You know, the kingdom standard for marriage is interesting. The kingdom says, if I propose to you to marry you as a woman, it says, I will pledge you my troth. We call it engagement. That means I decided I want to commit to meet all your needs the rest of your life. And I expect nothing from you in return.
Inspiring habit.
A dowry is caring. You go off and prepare a place. And then you come back and receive them unto yourself. I know there are many conditions in this room. But I'm dealing with the hope part. Let the future be better than the present. You are not married. Learn this lesson today. If you have been married and you plan to get married again, learn this lesson today. Go into relationships with sobriety. Ask God to give you wisdom and make decisions, even though they may be hard decisions. Break off some relationships that ain't, you know, they ain't right. Break it off now, because you're on your way to destruction. Some people are better off just staying single a little longer, because the person you're going with, you too expensive. And I know all you women know what it is to marry a stingy man. Oh, missed you for 3 weeks. I told you we don't understand love. Love is a high order. So you take notes good, and you have your conversations over coffee. You're interested in me? Let me find out if you understand what we're getting into here. Because I don't want you, you know, I got a good life right now. I mean, I'm a little lonely, you know, but I got a good life right now. So I don't want you messing with my loneliness. You going to exchange your singleness for frustration? I'm talking to men too, you know. Some men doing fine getting married a woman who's a parasite. She don't bring nothing to the relationship. Suck the life blood out of this guy. He lose everything. Some of you got some friends you involved with right now talking about you plan to get married. You better take this session to them. I said, let me check you out closely. Because my life is too important to walk around with a broken heart the rest of my life. We need sense. Let's go get some sense. Because we are destroying our country. Because we don't understand love. You love this man. Don't put no condition on him. He may get fired in the morning or get laid off. And he comes home with a pink slip. Man, what you going to do? And he tells you, we got to move back in an apartment. We got to give up this house. Do you still love him? Or do you attack him? You're a failure. I should have never married in the first place. Woman, you need Jesus. Your expectations create the problem. I love you if you got nothing. I love you if you got something. What love is this? That's the love that works. And that love be shed upon your heart by the Holy Spirit. Come down that aisle in your white dress, and you stand there with your tuxedo and your black suit, and you stand before God, and you start opening your mouth. Here's what God says: when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it, because God has no pleasure in fools. He called you a foolish person if you stand there saying, I love you till death do I part, and you don't know what you're talking about. You make a vow, he says, and you don't fulfill it, I have no pleasure in fools. So fulfill your vow, he says. It is better not to vow, verse 5, than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth, it says, do what? Lead you into sin. Don't rush to no altar. By the way, the most important statement in that verse is God. You never make vows to people. You make promises to people. Vows are only made to God. What you're telling God is, if I don't keep this, you can judge me. It's different from a promise. You can break a promise, but you can't break a vow. Because a vow attracts judgment. He says, do not protest to the temple messenger and say, my vow was a mistake. I made a mistake marrying you. God said, you should never come to this house and say that in front of me. These are verses you never saw. I made a mistake. Why should God be so angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. He said, you're dreaming, man. I love you. And in sickness and in health, poverty and wealth, richer for poorer. Yeah, boy, we don't mean that. You broke, I gone. Richer is good, poorer, I gone. We make vows. God says, what are you doing? These words you put in my hands, you're giving me the power to judge you. This ain't to no preacher. This is to me. Take your time. He says, therefore, stand in awe of God. That means don't rush to no church with no bride dress. Don't buy no tuxedo too fast and get 5 men to stab at you with bow tie. Slow down. He says here, be in fear of God. Be afraid to come down that aisle. Our problem is we ain't afraid no more. But if it doesn't work, I guess I'll get another one. Let me go down here and try this one. And you keep changing people. And both parties do it. Everyone doing it. It's like people think this is a game. God says, look, be afraid of me, because I will judge you. You tell me why you love me, and I am in trouble. Because now I got to maintain what you expect. It's too much pressure. You want to destroy a community? Find a reason for your love. Conditions destroy. I don't know why I love you. May God have mercy on us.
Well, hello there, my fellow seekers of the truth. How you guys doing today? It's your host, Mr. Alchemist, Mr. Raise Your Frequency Up, Mr. No Real Estate Investor Left Behind. How you guys doing today? I hope you guys are enjoying this episode that we have created for you guys to help you in your growth, in your expansion, in your self-development, in your revelations, in whatever you're doing. Hopefully, we're helping you guys grow much bigger and getting closer to your step. Southern State Management has been doing this for over 28 years. We've been in the self-development, self-growth, better producing, better creating ourselves and developing systems, products and services to be able to help and maneuver some hurdles around the way. Some of the hurdles are financial wealth, financial literacy, understanding your rights, business ownership, business systems. So these are some of the projects and services that we have through No Real Estate Investor Left Behind and Project Real Estate Alchemy and Project Alchemy. If you guys are interested to know more, give us a call, 915-247-8784. Again, that's 915-247-8784. And for every person that gives us a call, we will give you a free savings account. This savings account is established in gold. That's right, our investment in you and in your self-worth, we're investing it in gold. So give us a call, 915-247-8784. So please share, like, comment. Talk to you guys later. Self-development. Know thyself.